Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. You don't plant the seed one day and then go pick an apple the next day. Give God time. He even took time to bring Jesus on the scene. 400 years. How long you been waiting?
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue the message, The Opportunity of Opposition. And Pastor, I love the fact that you began with this idea of not being weary in well-doing. But frankly, anybody who has tried to follow Christ for any length of time knows that life is not easy. And we do face constant temptation and bombardment, the trials of life, and that we can get weary. So when those seasons of weariness come, how do you fight back against that?
Well, my favorite verse is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. It says, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And you look at it, what does it mean? The eagle gets on top of the storm.
Yeah.
He doesn't flap, he glides. And so there are times when God will allow us to escape. But then what does it mean to walk and not be weary? Endurance. Sometimes we just have to endure. But the waiting on God, I mean, sometimes we want it yesterday. Mm-hmm. So you take, for example, Abraham and Sarah. They had waited 16 years for the promised child. And then they came up with that brilliant idea, Hagar. And what happened? And this is what I want to point out when you don't want to wait.
Yeah.
Question on the floor. Did God fulfill their promise? Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they had waited 25 years for the birth of Isaac. And 9 years later, here he comes. Now, watch this. You couldn't wait on God and you had a mess.
Yeah.
But God still gave you your miracle. But now your mess and your miracle has to coexist.
Right.
So that you have to deal with the implications and the consequences of your unwillingness to wait on God. See, that's a wake-up call for me. I don't know about anybody else. When I'm tempted to run ahead of him,
yeah.
I say, okay, God, now you're going to need to direct me. Should I keep on waiting or is this something from you? And you have to ask that so that you know, look, I want what God wants for me when God wants me to have it.
Right. That is a really good word, and I wish we had more time to talk about how we discern that right now, but we actually need to grab our Bibles and go into 1 Corinthians chapter 16 as we continue the message, The Opportunity of Opposition. Here is Pastor Ford.
That's right. He's walking on the water to show them that what's over your head is under my feet, that what you're afraid of, I walk on, I control. And so why are you tripping about this waves and these waters? I'm walking on them. They concrete to me. So Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. I can imagine people on the boat, you know, I can imagine Andrew saying, we Baptists, that ain't for today. I can imagine Thomas saying, I doubt it. All of them had the opportunity to ask Jesus, can we come too? Nobody did it. Come on, tell me why. Nice and loud. Because we have a lot of boat talkers, but very little water walkers. In the boat, everybody talks. But when you gonna get out the boat? Man, some of y'all need to be shaming yourself. You've been praying about what you're going to do here. You say, God led me here, but you ain't doing nothing. Now you giving, and you better keep on giving too. But you ain't serving. You've been praying about it. You mean to tell me you're that disconnected from God that for 5 years he ain't said nothing to you about doing something? Okay, that's your issue, not mine. Let me leave it alone. And so what happens here? It is Peter begins to walk on water. So no matter whatever you say, here's a man that based on one word from Jesus just walked on water. It's a pioneering faith. Where are my people who have pioneering faith? Any Trekkies in here? Any Trekkies? Any Trekkies? Okay, Trekkies. All right. Any more Trekkies? Any more Trekkies? Okay, Trekkies. All right. All right. There's some young Trekkies too. I expected, you know, the older. I didn't say old. I said older. But here's what I used to like. I didn't like the program and I didn't watch it, but I always watched the beginning because here's the way it came on. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to go boldly where no man has gone before. Wow! Can you think about that? Look in scripture at all the pioneers. Take Abraham, take Noah. Remember, how many times did God tell him to build the boat? How many times in 120 years? One time in 120 years. It's a stem in the Hebrew that says it only happened one time. So one time he told him, and for 120 years, he did it. He did it. It's going to rain. And what's so significant about that? It had never rained. Nobody knew where rain was. So when every priest said, that was his sermon. So this morning, I have one text this morning. God gave it to me. It's going to rain. Well, what is rain? No, I don't know, but it's going to rain. Noah, well, what's it look like? I don't know, but it's going to rain. So why are you telling me it's going to rain? Because God said it's going to rain. And I don't know what rain is. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I know it's going to rain. And for 120 years, without having seen rain, he believed that rain was coming. Man, that's pioneer faith. Abraham, leave family, friends, fortune, fame, and go to a place I will show you. Where is it? I will show you. Well, how will I know which way to go? I will show you. Well, what about protection along the way? I will show you. What about provision? I will show you. He left on, I will show you. A pioneering faith. See, your problem is you got to see something in order to believe it. I was telling this morning, you know, I use it all the time. I used to use it once a year. Haven't used it in a little while. So some of you are new and never heard it, but guess what? There's something called a Chinese bamboo tree. How many remember a Chinese bamboo tree? Let me see your hands. Okay, I can tell how long you've been here. You've been here for at least 10 years, because I ain't talking about it in 10 years. Chinese bamboo tree. Here it is. You get the seed, you put it in the ground. You weed it, water it, and fertilize it. What happens the first year? Those of you who know, nothing. Then if you don't weed it, water it, and fertilize it, what happens to it? It dies. Second year, you weed it, water, and fertilize. What comes up? Nothing. But if you don't weed it, water, and fertilize, what happens? It dies. Third year, same thing. Fourth year, same thing. Fifth year, you weed it, water, fertilize. It breaks the ground. Google it. I ain't lying to you. And you know Google don't lie. It grows 90 feet tall in 1 year. You better come up. Let me whisper it to you. Let me tell you something. See, you ready to give up? It's too soon. It's too soon. It's too soon. You say, but all this opposition, I don't have the money. It's too soon. It's too soon. Somebody out there, God got you. There's somebody going to hook you up. Hey, I told you what happened to me. God wanted me to get another publisher. I didn't want to get another publisher. I'm with Moody. I have never been turned down for my publications. Every book that I give them, we're going to print it. We're going to print it. Then I bring the one about the devil, I bring it to him. And I get turned down. I'm crushed. I get turned down. And God said, why are you crushed? Because I'm the one that got you this deal. And then it was like, God said, okay, go to Urban Ministries. I went to Urban Ministries. And the long story short, he said, yeah, we'll publish you. And let me tell you, they've done some things that nobody else has done in my publishing career. What they did was they have something like 4,000 pastors on their mailing list. They mailed my book to every one of them. Oh, that ain't the end of it. So, Sister Judy, I get a call from Bishop over here, Trotter. And he says, man, I read your book. They sent it to me, and I couldn't put it down. I'm almost done with it, and I got it yesterday. He said, but I got a Bible study. When's your Bible study? I said, Wednesday. He said, that's good. I said, why is that good? Because mine's Tuesday. And what I want to do is use your book. I'm going to need 100 copies of your book and your workbook. I'm going to bring you over and let you kick it off, and then I'm going to take over. I'm going to teach your stuff to my people. I said, go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead with your bad self. Go ahead. Amen. And so it's like God is just open. And so then you say, well, what's so great about being with Urban Ministries? They have 40,000 churches. And they send publications to 40,000 churches advertising their products. That never would have happened had not the door been shut.
Amen.
And I began to realize that shut door was actually an open door to walk through to Urban Ministries. Amen. And I said, boy, yeah. And so what happens? I want you to keep on. Don't you dare stop. You said God told you this, then don't you quit.
Yes.
Here's the fourth one. I'm almost done. Notice, they are married incrementally. Say, what do you mean by that? Let me read it again. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Great many derived from the same root Greek word. Here's what he's saying. Get this. The greater the opportunity, the greater the opposition. He's saying it's concomitant. What does that mean? It means new level, new devil. Here's what I like to say it. New level, stronger devil. Yeah. Why? Because he wants us to know, listen, you got to go through something.
Boy, isn't that the truth? If you walk with Christ for any length of time, you know that you are going to go through something. But it's often through those somethings that we really get to know God in a way we never would have otherwise. You know, and one of the things that God may be using to just kind of change you, mold you, shape you, refine you is your marriage relationship. You know, it's one of the greatest gifts of all, but it's one that, honestly, I know for some can be a huge struggle. And Pastor Ford has written about that a number of times. You can check out those books when you come to our website and look for the link that says Books by Pastor Ford on the left side of the homepage. Again, come to treasuretruthradio.org and look for Books by Pastor Ford. Well, once again, here he is with more of the message.
Get this. Henry Ford. Here's some quotes. Henry Ford. Obstacles are the things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. That's a great quote. Oh, how about this one? Michael Jordan. And I'm just going to say this. He's the GOAT in basketball. I know you love LeBron. I know you love Kobe. But Michael Jordan is the GOAT.
Yeah.
He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Nobody greater. And then you know that he was rejected from his JV team. And then he went out with the basketball thing. His daddy made him and shot sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours. Kept shooting. And look at what he was able to do. I was going to read all his stats, but you know him already. I want you to hear this quote from Michael Jordan. Listen to this. If you're trying to achieve, there will be roadblocks. I've had them. Everybody has had them. But obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, go through it, or work around it. And that's a great quote. That's it. Booker T. Washington, he said this, I have learned that success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles which he has had to overcome while trying to succeed in life. We all know that. All these people with all that money, all of them wasn't handed to them. There are people who work hard for their money. They work hard for their money. And so what happens? Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. You don't plant the seed one day and then go pick an apple the next day. It takes time. Give God time. He even took time to bring Jesus on the scene. 400 years. How long you been waiting? And so we need to do that. Then I want you to see they must be met immediately. Here's what it says. Paul's saying, the door is open now. So now's the time to walk through. Christ Bible, we have an open door, y'all. I'm telling you, Boy Scouts, we shared that and we said, listen, if we get these boys and they become Eagle Scouts, what happens to them? They go to college free. We needed 5 men. And then the woman who is over the area director said, no, I want them to have 10. And so we put out the plea for 5 more men. And we got 5 more men. We got 10 men. We've already started now with the registration for Boy Scouts. And so what's going to happen? We're going to get these guys in here, And it's going to take a little while for them to make Eagle Scout. But that's our goal. We're planting it in the head of every kid that signs up. You can go to college free. Your mama and daddy don't have to pay a penny for your books or anything. Boy Scouts will pay for anything if you just become an Eagle Scout. Now, you know, we got this ministry called Crossroads. And they said, we want to come in and help you with your youth. And we will underwrite most of what it will cost you to minister to the youth in the community. Now we need some more people. Because guess what we did? We signed on the dotted line even though we didn't have any people. Because I said, when my people hear that we're going to be able to minister to the young girls and the young guys that aren't being ministered in Boy Scout, that we can reach out to this community and we can bring them in, that we'll get some people to say yes, that we've got some things underwritten. Yesterday, I was at my grandbaby's birthday. She's 19. And the comment was made, hey, you know what? I've got a hookup where I can get some computers, and I'm getting ready to write a proposal. I said, would you write me one? Because Brother Billy Cunningham wants to do a computer lab where people can come in on the street on Wednesday and on Friday and Saturday, fill out applications, learn how to use a computer, because he teaches computer at Roosevelt or Harold Washington. And they say, show you right. Give me your proposal. I'll put it in with mine and let them know it's for my church and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure they're going to be willing to do it because what you want to do with it is what I want to do with it. And they already told me. I said, you see what I'm saying? The opportunities. See, when the door is open, you got to walk through. You don't believe me? Ask Israel. Here it is in a nutshell. Israel was told by God, go to the promised land. Deuteronomy 1:2 says it's 11-day journey from where they were, Mount Horeb, where they received the law, to Kadesh Barnea, 11 days. Now, somebody tell me what happened. They put up placards and God said, the door's open, go. Here's what they said. Hades, no, we won't go. Hades, no, we won't go. So God said, okay, I'm gonna shut the door. Now God shut the door, then what do they wanna do? Oh, now they gonna go. And God said, no, when I opened the door, you didn't go. In the book of Revelation says, God opens the door and no man can close it. God closed the door, no man can open it. So here they're going to try to run in and they're going to try to disobey God anyway. And what did God do? They got jacked. That's what happened. Drive-by time. Because God said, when I open the door, that's when I want you to. We have an open door, Christ's Bible. We can make an impact in this community even greater than what we're doing now. I wonder how many of you are going to stand up with us and step out and make a difference. Here's the last one. You've been so gracious. And let me just say this. If you're not saved today, here's what the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. That is, God says, I open the door for salvation to give you grace today. But that doesn't mean that you're going to have grace tomorrow. You better walk through the open door while you walk through the open door. Why? Because you can send away your day of grace. I'm not trying to scare anybody. You could walk out of here and get hit by a car, boom, and this was your last opportunity to receive Jesus Christ yes. as your personal Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit was telling you that, and you didn't listen. Here's the last one. They are managed by the infinite one. Paul recognized no matter what the vehicle was, God provided the open door. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Here's what he wants us to do. Three things. He wants us to be dependent upon the person of Jesus, desire the purposes of Jesus, and declare the praise of Jesus. Let me say it again. He wants us to be dependent upon the person of Jesus. Why? Opposition is an opportunity to look up. John chapter 6. They said, it's time to eat, trying to get our eat on, send them away. No, Jesus said, you feed them. That's a problem. How are we going to feed them? They look to their resources. We ain't have enough money. We don't have enough food. And they left the answer to find an answer. And Jesus said, it says this, he already knew what he's going to do. Yes. And then he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. The little bit became much in the hands of the master. Okay, I'm done preaching to you. I'm done preaching to you. It's like the song. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I never knew what faith in God would do. So through it all. And then to learn to desire the purposes of Jesus. Write down Colossians 4:3-4. He's in the joint. And he prays for what? An open jail cell while he's in jail? No, an open door. And he says, there's an open door to share the mystery. What's the mystery? Jesus is God in the flesh, that he's come down. And so what happens here? Who's our example? Come on, who's our example? Jesus. Did Jesus want to go to the cross in his humanity? No, he did not. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. And the Bible says he had this hydromyosis, I think that's what it's called, where you are so emotionally pent up that your blood vessels burst and mix with your sweat, and your sweat comes out like blood. It's a medical term. There are people who actually have that happen to them. And that's what happened to him. Why? He didn't want to go to the cross. Why? Because he's going to be separated from the Father for the first time. But then in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. And what happened? Something had to change. Why? Because he went back to them and said, what, you could not watch me for 1 hour? And then he said, get up. Let's be going. It's time to go to Jerusalem. It's time to go get crucified. And then we wouldn't know if it wasn't for the book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews lets us know why he was so excited to get up out of the Garden of Gethsemane and go die. Here's what it says. It brought him joy because he knew he would bring many sons and daughters to glory. He had joy for that opportunity that looked like opposition, because he had you, me, all of us in his heart when he went to God. Amen. 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 Here's all I want you to do. Try to see the opportunity in your opposition. Lord, bless the truth to our hearts, we pray, for Christ's sake.
Amen. We're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and I hope what's been an encouraging message to you. It comes from 1 Corinthians 16, and it's called The Opportunity of Opposition. You know, I think we have to expect opposition in this life. Jesus tells us it's going to come, so we shouldn't be surprised by it. So when it does come, let's look for that opportunity. If you want to go back and listen to today's broadcast or any previous broadcast again, you can do that by coming to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. Well, Pastor Ford's back in the studio with me here. And pastors, I sit in the Moody Radio studios. I'm just reminded of the legacy of Moody Radio, how God has used Moody Radio for years and years, generations, really, to share the gospel message.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we want to see that continue, Steve.
Yeah.
We hear from so many listeners who have benefited from listening to this teaching ministry. And if you're listening and you're one of them, would you consider paying it forward? Steve talked about the fact that we have a legacy, a long-lasting legacy. And if the Lord has used this program in your life, you can help cover our production costs by giving a one-time gift or becoming a monthly partner today so that we can continue to be here in the future for others who need to hear the truth of God's word.
Well, you can pay it forward right now. Just come to the website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You're going to see a donate link there. Go ahead and click on that, and that can be a one-time gift, or you can give a reoccurring monthly gift. That really helps us be great stewards of how God is going to bless this ministry financially. So go ahead, come to treasuredtruthradio.org and look for that donate link. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for listening. And thanks also to our Bible teacher, Pastor Ford, and our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.